Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends. This is Nick, and I'm here with my co-host, Terry, and this is Hell No, the radio show. Hell No, the radio show is a socially conscious water cooler talk show about what's going on in the world as we feature some guests and callers who express their thoughts. Hell No is friendly, it's funny, it's real, and it's focused on empowering the truth. We give a voice to people who feel left in the dust. This program, however, is not democratic, it's not fascist, it's not politically correct, or a place for sacred cows. What we do is we advocate peace, critical thought, education, reading, and social awareness. Go ahead and write down this telephone number and give me and Terry a call to share your thoughts and our discussions during topics on tonight's Hell No episode. The number is always the same every week, every time, 718-508-9419. When you're prompted, dial option number one to speak to the host, and that's us. Number again, 718-508-9419. Hell No is a one-hour show, and we take calls in order we receive them, so please sit tight. And, of course, as always, you can email us at any time at hellnoradioshow@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Very easy. Just Google Hell No the Radio Show. Partial support for Hell No the Radio Show comes from our sponsors, and Terry's going to tell us about them now.
Our longtime friend and sponsor, Ms. Jane Flint, massage therapist, body worker extraordinaire, who is currently taking some advanced classes, adding to her already voluminous education in the field. Folks, she is as good as they get. Ms. Flint has been doing massage for well over 30 years and is trained in more than 15 different disciplines of massage, body work, and stretching, including the activated stretching routines that they are now using on the Olympians. She's one of, I believe, only two people in the state of Wisconsin certified for them. She's located at 10335 West Oklahoma Avenue, Suite 205. That's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and just a couple of blocks off the freeway. Really easy to get to. If you're within 100 miles, as I'm fond of saying, go see her. It's worth the trip. If you mention our show, she'll give you $10 off her first appointment, and you will have one of the most wonderful experiences of your life. She is the best of the best. She is a pro. She is a person who takes great pride in her work and her education in the field of massage therapy and physiotherapy. Her number is 414-321-9030, 414-321-9030. And as a little bit of a tribute tonight, we're going to do a song and dedicate it to her at halftime. So without further ado or do, onward we go, Nick. Bad presidential campaigns. Oy.
It's actually been quite an interesting time. Just real quick, I mean, we could talk about this all night, but a few of the things that I've heard, the turnout at the polls with early voting has been record-setting. A lot of things that we saw in the 1980 election when Ronald Reagan beat Jimmy Carter, and I just want to remind people that 2 weeks before that election, Carter was ahead 11 points. So we'll see. It is what it is. There's a lot of news stories going on out there. There's a lot of supposed accurate information about polls and problems with voting machines, but I have not talked to anyone who's personally experienced any problems with the voting machines.
Well, for our listeners, I am not going to be shy about the fact that I went and voted today. I'm not going to be in my district when the election is taking place, so I voted in advance, and I would ask everyone out there to please do so. Get out there and cast your ballot. Decide whether you're cutting off your hand or your foot, as I'm very fond of saying. And I won't make any secret about who I voted for. For most of the candidates, I voted for libertarians who I knew, and they were a known quantity. For the that would be for congressional seats, et cetera. For the district attorney in my area, no one was opposing him. He is absolutely one of the most disreputable, ethically and morally bankrupt people that you could imagine in the job. I voted for Alfred E. Newman in that particular situation. He was a write-in for me. For those of you who don't know who Alfred E. Newman is, he's the little red-haired guy with the freckles and the funny grin and one tooth missing. He's the mascot for Mad Magazine. He would be a logical choice in this particular case. At least he would be harmless. Well, for president, what do you think? Nick?
I'm going to say you voted for Mr. Trump.
I did. There was a libertarian candidate. First of all, in this particular election, I do subscribe to the view that a vote for anybody other than the top two candidates is a vote wasted in this particular instance. I know you like to make, believe me, no one more than I likes to make a point and likes to go with the, you know, this is the way it should be. But I'll also say the libertarian candidate was not a particularly strong candidate, nor did I agree with many of the things he was saying. I really wish we'd get a good libertarian candidate up there and out there, but I did vote for Mr. Trump. And it is a situation where I certainly feel it was by far the lesser of the evils. And if Hillary gets in there, woe be to us. My last word on it. Woe be to us. So, Nick,
yes.
Have you voted yet, or are you going to be in your district on Election Day?
I will be because I'm the election judge working the precinct here. But I did go early voting.
Oh, my God, now we're in trouble.
Donald yeah.
will have everything he wanted in terms of ammunition.
Good Lord. I think he, I live in a county with 75% Republican voters, so I think he's got it hands down here. But I did vote early, and some may not like it, but I voted Republican straight ticket. I always have, and I will. Not everyone likes that, and everyone agrees, but I'm a party loyalist and an elected
like
party official, so, you know, that's fine. You know, there's so many people out there who are, you know, we have been pushed into so many corners by people who say, well, you have to agree with me or you have to. No, I don't have to agree with anyone. I respect their thoughts and listen to their theories on the world, but I don't have to do what they, you know. That's the beauty of our country, the beauty of a free America.
I feel it's incumbent upon me to vote for the individual. And if there's a bad individual out there, I don't care what party he's with, I don't want him in. That's my
right.
view. And God almighty, we have way too many bad individuals out there. It's absolutely remarkable at this point in time. It really is.
Right. If I can jump in really quickly about the streaming of our program here, anyone who has, we've had some problems in the last week, and I anticipate there may be, I'm getting a weird thing on my on-air streaming time. That's left. There have been some updates to the system. If you lose us by listening on the phone number, go to our Blog Talk Radio page or find it on Facebook. Again, Hell Know the Radio Show on Facebook. You can click and listen online, the internet right there. So if we go dark, you can't hear us if you're calling in on the phone. And our callers out there, if you don't want to speak to us tonight, I'm assuming they do. I see some friendly names on there. Yeah, y'all might want to hit the one and so we can bring in live to talk to us. So just to prevent anyone from getting cut off, I apologize in advance.
But
there's a lot of radio shows. That's a thing that's been going on right now. The internet's been kind of crazy lately.
This is all new to me. So what in the world are we up against here?
It says my streaming time for some reason is will cut us out at 8 o'clock, but the show will continue.
This is the same thing that happened last time. How is this possible?
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I could tell you, but to the extent
that
we should.
That really sucks.
It does suck, and
we need to have that fixed.
Absolutely, and there might be an error or something that I'm missing, so I'll roll over on the knife. But let's, in case anyone has, if we fall off, go listen from the stream, the live streaming. They just click on the little picture of the show on the where on the Facebook page where it is. So
the other problem is that this means we don't archive the whole show, and that really upsets me.
It's no, I believe the whole show is there if you go back and listen to it afterwards, but I'd have to check on that. Anyways, moving on.
I don't believe it.
Passing
personages. Mr.
Gavin McFadden.
Phil Chess died. We'll get him in a moment. Mr. Phil Chess died. He was the founder of Chess Records in Chicago, handled all the big blues men, and even some psychedelic bands like the Baroques. He was really up there. He was born in 1921, and he died in 2016. Anybody want to do the math? The reason I ask that is because most people can't do the math anymore. That's really pretty sad.
96?
It really is.
No, 97.
Mm-hmm.
96 or 95. Close.
95 years old.
95, right.
He recorded Chuck Berry, Muddy Waters, Etta James, Willie Dixon. Willie was an amazing performer. Howlin' Wolf. He really was something else. He was actually born Fizzle Chiz. That was his original name. Fizzle Chiz.
Huh.
Born in Poland. Yeah. Changed it to Phil Chess. Anglicized it. So, other than that, this one really disturbs me. Gavin McFadden, who was the original founder of WikiLeaks and the mentor to the other gentleman who was on the run in Ecuador's, what do we call it there?
Julian
the diplomatic. Yeah, right. But their diplomatic immunity area in London, he's at that place. And they have cut him off from everything, trying to force him out on a bogus rape charge. And then, of course, we have Mr. Snowden, who was also on the run. What's wrong with this picture? Nick, I mean, really, what's wrong with this picture? Where the fuck do we get off with persecuting people who are trying to bring the truth out? How is that possible? Well, it's possible because that's the way this country has gone. We don't care about the truth anymore. We don't care about accuracy. We just want whatever is most sensational at the time or whatever fits our own little tiny paradigm in our tiny minds. Very, very sad. Hell no, we don't need to lose any more of these people. This is a very suspicious death. Did you read anything about it, Nick?
About Gavin McFadden, I've seen is what's on the Washington Post, and it says it was lung cancer.
Well, that's not consistent with everything else that I've heard.
Are you hearing? Because I haven't heard a lot.
He had a short illness, apparently not terribly severe, and suddenly he was dead. That was it.
Look at Justice Scalia. I mean, was the man a little overweight? Could he have had a random heart attack out on a hunting trip in Texas? That's possible, but it's just surprising sudden deaths are always, they're surprising and sudden.
Yeah, this whole thing, you know, the timing was amazing. A couple of days after he blasted Hillary Clinton with more email stuff that nobody seems to hear about, and his death was hardly reported anywhere. I mean, it was a tiny article in the Washington Post, and you had to look to try and find it. A few of the alternative newspapers carried it, and some of the, you know, so-called freedom papers carried it. One of them included a headline that said, another body count for Clinton, ? Or another addition to the body count for Clinton, ? I mean, I don't know, man. This is just what happened to us. Where'd our freedom go? What freedom? Where'd our Constitution go? What Constitution? Why do you think people want Donald Trump in there? Because they sure as hell don't want Hillary Clinton and more control over their lives. What's ironic also, and Nick, I want you to sort of wade in on this a little bit, if you would. The fact that the Democratic Party has gone almost to where the Republican Party was 25 or 30 years ago. A lot of restrictive stuff and a lot of this and a lot of that, and a lot of horseshit that should never have been done and not been out there. The Republican Party is now the party that seems to be advocating more freedoms, more free lifestyle, less government, really less government, not just feigning it. What a weird 180.
Mm-hmm. You know, the platforms change and they change with time. The parties change and have flipped with time. You know, here in the South, we had, you know, it was Southern Democrats for the longest times, and they were, a lot of them were very conservative. The Democratic Party has become, you know, a different thing. I mean, the parties change over times, and the platforms change and adopt, and they adapt. I mean, things switch. You know, it's. I agree with you.
Hang on yes, a second. Sir. I just got an email from one of our listeners, and I'm going to read it to you. My record of the times that ads on the Blog Talk site broadcast over your show tonight: 7:33, Top of the Rock; 7:34. Truck ad and then Nissan and Big Apple excursion. 7:36, DAV, and in big letters, these things will not stop. I cannot keep up. They kill most of your volume. I cannot turn them off. This has got to stop. This is really fucking up our program, and enough of this. To the people at Blog Talk Radio, hell no, you can't keep doing this, or else we're going somewhere else.
Are the ads, where are they finding these ads?
They're listening? They're covering over us as we're talking. The ads are covering over us as we're talking.
And they're sure that they're not listening. They're not listening online on the website, and ads are also playing on that webpage?
Apparently not.
I don't know. So as they're listening, their audio is getting cut through. Here, we have a caller. Let's see what our caller has to say. Caller,
yeah.
0619 is your phone number. Go ahead.
Evening, guys. Just to let you know, I listen to you on the phone, and there's no interruption on the phone. So whatever this blogging is and stuff, I don't know what it is, but over the phone, nothing's ever been.
Over the phone, you're clean? Then it must be on the Internet. So, you know. Good Lord. He doesn't make it clear as to whether it's on the Internet or it's on this. But, I mean, that's just – Nick, take the
I'll have to go back and listen and get with them, because I haven't – you know, I don't re-listen to programs after we broadcast them. But I want to go back and listen and find out exactly. We'll listen for those, because that shouldn't happen, especially because this is a paid premium version show, so that shouldn't be
exactly
happening.
Exactly, and I want to apologize to our listeners for all of this crap that's going on. I am very unhappy about this, to say the least. Very unhappy. So we don't lose everybody on this. Let's at least play our music. Okay, can you key up our music and get it playing? And then damn the torpedoes for the rest of it. Boy, am I sick of this crap going on with, you know, welcome to the Internet, the most flawed resource for information in the entire universe. But nobody sees it that way. I guess
Sweet
we're part
Jane,
of
the, Velvet Underground.
By the Velvet Underground and Lou Reed. Wrong recording.
Standing on the corner, suitcase in my hand. Jackson's corset, Jane is in her vest, and me, I'm in a rock and roll band. Huh. Riding a suspect at Jim, you know. Those were different times. All the poets, they studied rules of verse, and those ladies, they rolled their eyes. CJ, I said something, Jack, he is a banker.
That was the Velvet Underground, and that was Lou Reed. That was not the version I was looking for. That was another, live version. Yeah.
I looked how you
One of these days we'll find it. We'll find it one of these days.
What about Petals the Bear?
The Velvet Underground is going to be resurrected, sort of, not with the original members or anything, but there's a tribute that's going to be done with the Velvet Underground. And that's something you should, if you like the Velvet Underground, go seek it out. It's going to be done live, I believe. So really check it out. How about this? You remember the gorilla that was stupidly killed at the Cincinnati Zoo? In London, A gorilla got out of its enclosure, and it was a big silverback, just like the one in Cincinnati. He got into an area where the keepers normally are, and in fact, the primary keeper was there when he got in there. The primary keeper had no problem with the gorilla. He kind of quietly left the area and went to get the veterinary professionals. They eventually gave him a tranquilizer and quietly put him back in his pen without any incident. The gorilla could have done all sorts of things to this keeper. He did not do anything to him. What was a little bit amusing was he drank 5 bottles of undiluted black currant squash, as it's called. It's a soft drink. And it's one of those that you have to dilute, you know, with like 4 parts water to 1 part stuff. Well, he drank 5 liters of it undiluted. Hopefully he didn't get diabetes from doing that, but he must have had a great time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So he's back safe and no problems. And, you know, nobody tried to kill him, thank God. There are few enough of those poor animals left. They show a picture of him that's fairly amusing with a green pepper in his hand that he's having fun chowing down. So hell yes for the London Zoo. Kumbuka was the name of the gorilla. Good job on getting him back in. Good job on getting him back in there. And he may have had a bit of a bellyache. So anyhow, off we go. Who knows if anybody will be able to listen to
bear.
Us. Yeah. That's a sad one. Did you look it up? Did you look up anything?
Yeah,
on it?
I saw a little bit about that.
All right. I'm not going to go into a lot of where, but I am going to go into the fact that Petals was a bear, a black bear, who had lost part of a front leg in an injury and had to walk upright much of the time. People in the area saw the bear all the time. The bear was not particularly people shy. It never posed a threat to anyone. So in their infinite wisdom, a particular state decided they were going to allow bear hunting. And as I told you earlier, Nick, I, in theory, am not against hunting if it's done correctly. But this is not the 1700s, and we're not in darkest Africa trying to prove that a particular type of antelope exists so we can bring it back and hang the head on the wall. Trophy hunting, I'm sorry, it just doesn't make sense, especially when we're talking about something like this. Some dumbass put an arrow through that poor bear and killed it. Ended its life. For what? For what purpose? You know, to make his weenie bigger? This is just amazing. Scumbags, if you're hunting deer, that's one thing. Most of the people eat the venison, and, you know, it's a whole different thing. But these bears have enough trouble as it is living. And killing them off strictly for a trophy is unconscionable. You just took that animal's life away from it, especially an animal that had been no threat to anyone at any point in time. You know, if that arrowhead missed that bear and ricocheted back and gone through that guy's eye, I think some of us would probably have applauded, and we would be within our rights to do so. It's unbelievable. In Florida, there's been a nonstop fight about the killing of bears with the idiot who's in charge of Florida, so-called, and I really stress the so-called Conservation Commission, Fish and Game Conservation, Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. This woman is a disaster, and she got this bear hunt going so that she could do FaceTime with the politicos and have them come onto her property. She owns many acres of land and hunt bears. Isn't that sweet? Yeah, it's sweet until you see the babies that are running around dying. I had one on my own land. They shot the female, and the baby starved to death. I tried my best to try and get them and to get them into a captive situation temporarily, but I couldn't do it. And legally, I wasn't supposed to do it. I called trappers who are licensed by the state to bring bears in. They were so busy trying to collect other cubs that it took them 2 weeks for them to get back to me. Hundreds of cubs starved to death. The mother's shot. Is that big brave hunting? You know, I'm sorry, hell no and fuck you, dumbasses. If that's what makes you happy, then maybe you should go over to Iran or Iraq. do some good. Shoot something over there that's threatening the world. I can't believe this. I really can't. I am disgusted by it. Nick, thoughts?
I mean, I don't understand killing for the sake of killing. I've never, you know, I wasn't raised like that. I mean, I know, like, as kids, sometimes people are stupid and they run around and, you know, shoot the bunny and what, you know, it's adults, though. I mean, this is not how I was raised. I mean, I just don't do that. I shoot to eat, you know. You go hunting, you take your, you know, you take what you shoot and you take it to get processed, and you got food and you got steaks in your freezer. That's, you know, the thought of going to shoot to kill, to leave it like dying, sitting in the woods like that, and not be harvesting anything from it, it's just stupid. I mean, I don't understand that. Never have. Never. I just don't get it. Never will be able to understand. It's terrible.
It is. It is just beyond disgusting. I don't know, man. I don't know. This bear was really an icon. This poor little bear with part of a paw missing, actually part of a leg missing. That's got to take a brave guy, huh? And while we're talking about it, people who are just despicable. I have a friend who has muscular dystrophy, and it's pretty severe. She needs a cane to get around and a walker most of the time. She was in a grocery store and hung her cane on the shopping cart and was trying to get groceries moved around and stole her cane. I mean, really?
What? Of all the things
those are people who don't need kneecaps anymore. You know? Unbelievable. What are these people? They are not people. They go in the same basket as all of the crooked cops that we talk about week after week after week. The violent, morally bankrupt, ethically bankrupt individuals. Stealing came from a woman who can't walk without it.
I have a theory on this, and that my theory has to do, again, back to technology. Technology has allowed people to be the nameless and faceless people. And when people are online, for, you know, specifically, you know, and just look at this election or anything that's controversial or things that people want to talk about, people have a difference of opinion. You can say whatever you want and be anonymous. Some people have even fake pages they use when they want to. I mean, South Park's been having a blast with it, pimping this whole thing. But it's true.
Yeah.
You nameless, faceless people. And there's no consequences for their actions. There's no real fear of punishment. And there is a perception of you can get away with anything. And unless someone is there to – I mean, so this is it's a lack of personal ethics. It's a lack of morals. It's that thing that's in their head that stops, you know, something in their head stops people from doing bad things. You know, for me, that's an item of faith, and I feel like it will be seen, you know, no matter what I think, you know. My parents put that in my head. My mama said when I was little, she said, God is always watching you, but he's watching you through birds and insects. The little things, and they all report, and they all see. So, I mean, stuff like that as a kid you're taught, and for me anyways, I've always thought if I try to pull a fast one, someone will find out, or whether you believe in karma and you say karma's a bitch or it's going to come back around you, it's not worth it. And I also, you know, the other thing my parents always said was the golden rule. Don't do unto others as you would want done to you. And I don't want someone stealing anything out of the back of my pickup, so I'm not going to steal someone out of the back of theirs. It's just simple as that. And I think it's a failure of parenting. Too often in our present day, people parent with cell phones and devices. Here, kid, play this video game. Here, do this. There's not as much effort and time spent on teaching right from wrong, especially when we're in a culture that there really is no right and wrong. If you can argue your personal feelings about how you identify on the subject matter, you know, they say there cannot be a right and wrong, but there must be a sense of right and wrong. And if it's not coming through religion and it's not coming through parenting, it sure ain't coming from the schools. I don't know where it's coming from. So you kind of do have a culture of people who, for all intents and purposes, are not far removed from the, you know, the wolf boy raised in the woods. Even maybe the wolf boy got a sense of not stealing from the other animals who don't. I don't know, but
yeah, because
it's a,
something
it's a cultural problem. Well, yeah, they do.
It's wow, what are we doing? Are we reverting back to the Middle Ages?
In a lot with the technology and all this progress forward, how many steps forward, how many steps back? We are. Yeah. I mean, through my life, I'm only 40 years old, and this is totally a different world than it was 20 years ago. You know, used to, people would say, if this happened, that would happen. Cause and effect. Event, result. And I don't experience that anymore. Things that you see that people saying, I can't believe that, you know, I mean, look at Hillary Clinton and these things. You know, it was when what happened with Bill Clinton, I mean, that's like he got impeached. I don't think in today's day that necessarily that he would have been impeached for that. You know, it would have been just tabloid journalism, blah, 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 people move on. And so the more people get away with things, there's no fear of retribution. You know where the line, you people know the line they can cross. And when we scribble the line out, now what? It's who's got the money and the power. You know, if we, the rule of law, we've lost that, you know?
I don't know. My view on Clinton is very different than yours, being that I don't think that what went on with him was worth even talking about, much less making issues about. It doesn't affect a person's ability to rule. What I worry about is violence. What I worry about are people who destroy, torture, and allow, you know, things to happen that take the lives and either lives
absolutely
of people or take their lives away from them. Those are the ones that really, really disturb me.
For example, with
what we heard about just yesterday, because they were getting driven out, they were slaughtering all the people who lived on the periphery of Mosul. I mean, do these things have to continue living on our planet? They are a plague. They are sick. They are mindless. They are a plague. They are not, those aren't people you can rehabilitate. They aren't people. They are a lower form of life. We are devolving in way too many ways. And we are going back,
you know,
being...
Let me throw a word out there, Terry. Radicalized. What do you think? I've been trying to test this, and people say, well, what does it mean when someone's become radicalized? Because I've thrown out the term within our current populace.
Yeah.
I think there are people who are Americans who are radicalized. People say, well, what does that mean? I say, well, for one way that I would interpret that is to say that, you know, I said, Hillary Clinton, as a candidate, she could take babies and saw their legs off and cook them on a fire pit in the front yard and have people over and munch on baby legs all day long. And I said, I still think that these people will vote for her, for reasons, because they want a woman president, because she's a Democrat and their friends like that in the party. I think that those people are somewhat I call that radicalized. You know, when you are devoid of common sense, reason, ration, you know, no matter what, you will continue to do the same thing regardless of anything that you're taught or shown otherwise. I see that as radicalized. And I think that, you know, you talk about the you know, people who are raised in these other places of the world who, I mean, those folks may have been raised from the beginning to do what they are doing now, and it's inhumane and awful and absolutely terrible, and they may be devoid of all things. But, I mean, I don't think it's only people like people over in other parts of the world. I think there are people, you know, in our very own grocery stores riding on the roads with us and everything else who are
absolutely
as morally depraved. Absolutely. And I call them
absolutely
radicalized. And they say, well, you can't say radicalized because that means terrorist. I don't agree.
Well, radicalized is a very vague term to begin with. If you want
You know,
how about
if we want to go into an English lesson or a logic lesson.
Well, we can. Let's
term.
Dispense of that. But
you know.
here's where I'm at, and we may disagree on using it this way. But I see the people out there, you know, taking the pickaxe to the star on Hollywood Boulevard for Mr. Trump. And like you said, when we talked earlier, well, if Hillary Clinton won something for something and she won it legitimately, she should be allowed that, and people shouldn't be out there attacking people's awards and things. And I call that person radicalized. I think they're doing, you know, or maybe they're just doing it for their own fame or fortune. But
as I said, I don't call them radicalized. I call them nut jobs, whether they're right wing or left wing. Or whether they're not at either of those things, these are people who are nut jobs. That may not be a very technical term, but it accurately describes individuals who do not have enough restraint to act in a reasonably civilized manner. By the way, it was a sledgehammer, not a pickaxe. I was told.
Sorry. Would a pickaxe have been also as useful?
So, at any rate. You wanted to talk a little bit about some other things. Go for it. I'm jumping off for a few seconds. I'll be right back.
Sure. One of the things that I wanted to talk about was with respect to the election. One of the things that I've noticed is there are a lot of people out there who don't seem to even understand what a lot of the issues are and things that separate different people and separate the different parties. They don't fundamentally understand the difference of the party platforms or what the different parties stand for. And I've found a lot of people in recent times coming, to, you know, asking me questions. Anyone who knows me on Facebook knows I'm a precinct chair for Denton County Republican Party, and I'm active as a community organizer online. So I got people who say, well, Nick knows a lot about this. And some people who say, well, he went to law school, so he knows. That's, give me, we'll stop right there. A legal education or any education should not be a prerequisite to understanding the basics of politics. So I've told some of these people the basic tenements and the basic tenets, not tenements, the wrong word, but
tenement
the
is not
platform.
Exactly what you're looking
yeah,
for.
Yeah, not the right word, sorry. Sorry.
That's
it's
where you live.
Day
that's
I've,
not.
Well, in the future, we may all be there. So, but anyhow, I said to this guy, I said, take the candidates aside. Forget about whether it's Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. You know, just give them random names and faces, stick people, if you will. I talked about how the Republican platform may stand for things like this, and a conservative interpretation of the Constitution. Again, I've now lost this person again, and I had to explain. That means we want the Constitution interpreted as written, as opposed to changed based on popular thoughts or beliefs, which is a more liberal or a Democrat stance. Or what you want it to be is more like what the current stance is. And he explained that. And I also, you know, and this guy I was talking to, he owned a food truck, and I think he wanted to do more food trucks. He's been having problems with where he could park the food trucks. He's having issues with, you know, local and state governmental issues. And I said, you know, the same issue you have with your food trucks is the same issue that a lot of people who are voting Republican would say that they have and want less government regulation, smaller government. Let small business people do what they want to do. Don't tax them to death, blah, 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 blah. And so we had this whole discussion about that, about this back and forth. And he said, wow, this really had nothing to do with whatever I was thinking about Mr. Trump. I said, well, you know, that's a candidate with personality traits and things, but there's a bigger thing going on, and there's just a lot of people who don't realize the difference even between the parties or why the Supreme Court is important and the how much of a balance things lay in, you know, how things could change. Now, having said that, do I think that the world is going to spin off its axis regardless of who's elected? No. I've also said that, you know, between this partisan stuff, it's kind of like a game of football sometimes. It's like a NFC, you know, divisional rivalry. Sometimes you're going to lose, sometimes you're going to win. But there never is a final end or loser. It just goes on together, and unless it's snuffed out completely and there's no more country, no more politics somehow, you know, which that has happened in the past.
Well,
so,
you know, I've used the football analogy only too many times, but I want to throw something else in here. This was sent by one of our listeners. And it's got a picture of Michael Moore, the film producer, pointing out at you, and he's saying, Michael Moore, Trump's election will be the biggest fuck you in human history. And he's, you know, the more I listen to Michael Moore, the more I think he's actually pro-Trump. I'm telling you something that is very surprising. He said that, you know, you wonder why Trump appeals. Well, I'm going to read you a little something. He said that disenfranchised Americans, especially working class, have lost everything. And they've lost everything except the one thing guaranteed to them by the United States Constitution, the right to vote. And I think that's a very astute thing for him to say. Here's a little bit of his statement. Whether Trump means it or not, it's kind of irrelevant because he's saying the things to people who are hurting. And it's why every beaten down, nameless, forgotten working stiff who used to be part of what was called the middle class loves Trump. Moore told an audience in Ohio theater during a one-man show. He is the human Molotov cocktail that they've been waiting for, Moore added. The human hand grenade that they can legally throw into the system that stole their lives from them. Now, that's some pretty strong stuff. It's very, very strong stuff, and he is not wrong about any of that.
I've seen that, and what he's talking about, where he said whether he's saying truthfully or not about Mr. Trump, what he's talking about is the when Trump went to talk to when he was in Mexico, and when he talked to, don't know if he talked to the Ford people the same time, but as when he talked to the president of Mexico, but he is reported to have been saying to Ford, if you go and build all your vehicles over in Mexico, we will, and you're taking jobs away from Americans, I'm going to put a 35% tariff on all your Ford vehicles. And guess what? When a Ford F-150 costs $100,000, ain't nobody buying no Ford F-150, sir. They're going to go and buy the Chevy or the Dodge. And he said, I'm going to put Ford right under. And because, and you know who's going to be clapping are the people in Detroit, the people in, you know, the people all over, auto workers. I mean, everyone who's seen everything leave and go overseas. And, I mean, what more do we need to, I mean, how many years of places leaving and going overseas because of our screwed up tax system? There's not going to be much left. And, you know, people look at the cost of education. I just can't even, I understand that it's out of control, but the solutions, there really are no good solutions to that. The schools continue to charge. I look at what the tuition was for me when I went to college and to what it is now. It is not quite double yet, but it is getting real close. And it's, people are forgoing education, they're forgoing opportunities because they can't afford it. The houses keep getting more expensive. They said that people who are unfortunately on Obamacare, their rates are going to double. Here in Texas, I think they're going to be like three times, 75% increase. And a lot of states like Texas who don't go along with the federal program. And, you know, Ken Paxton, our attorney general, sued Obama 16 times. We don't have a lot of, we don't have the whatever the school, the, what do they call it? The school, the education now, the, I know this, and it's just, I can't think of it, Common Core. We don't have Common Core here, but we also don't get the federal funding. But because we don't get the funding with a lot of these things with Obamacare, people in Texas don't get the subsidies either. So people are looking at $1,800 a month for their insurance, for health. Now, if you've got kids in school, you got little ones, you're going to pay it. You don't have a choice. People are working, you know, long gone are the days they only had to work two jobs. We're working harder and harder for less and less and less, and people are slowly getting used to having less. They're in what middle class? I mean, meanwhile, people with more money get richer, the poor get poorer, and people are just happy to survive and keep their lights on. You know, well, people have gotten really used to camping vacations.
Let's jump to something a little more pleasant, okay? We've been really on a downer tonight, thing after thing. Let's talk about the giant rayfish that was washed up on a Brazil. This is the biggest ray that I have ever seen. It was absolutely enormous. Three men were standing around it. The poor ray was caught up in a fishing net, a torn-up fishing net. And 25 years ago, that ray would have been chopped up on the spot and just done so for the hell of it. Maybe eaten, probably not. To show you that there has been a positive cultural shift in Brazil, and believe me, this is music to my ears because Brazil does not have a good record with conservation. They really don't. These guys spent a great deal of time and trouble trying to get this gigantic fish back into the water and untangled. They were finally able to do so. This fish had to have weighed over a ton. It was enormous, absolutely huge. It's, as I said, the biggest ray I think I have ever seen. I saw one caught off of Florida that was, I would guess, maybe 700-800 pounds. This thing was well over probably a ton. It was literally twice the size of that animal. But they got him out of the net. They put him back in the water. They showed some compassion for a fellow species. And the other thing that we talked about this on a different show, but this also happened in Brazil, and I'm giving a big hell yes to Brazilian people for this. The guys who lassoed that anaconda that had just eaten and then thought it was really a great time to pull it by the tail with their powerboat, bashing it against the rocks until it regurgitated its meal and eventually died from torturing it, running up and down the river, smashing it against things and laughing all the while. They were put in jail. So Brazil, hell yes, good for you. You're going in the right direction. Good for you.
It's encouraging because, well, I remember when the, you know, a lot of things I've heard about Brazil, especially with when the Olympic Games and everything were very, very upsetting kind of, not such a happy, I always think of Brazil and Rio de Janeiro, like, oh, it's a really nice, very clean, posh. I suppose there are some parts in the resort that are like that, but, you know, by and large, Well, that's a feel good story. That's good. Kind of balances out, you know, the poor Petals the Bear story.
Yeah.
Another thing that we did have on our hit parade was talking a little bit more about health and why that we should pay attention to avoiding aluminum or aluminum, however you want to say it.
Aluminium, as the British pronounce it. I don't know how in the world they ever get that pronunciation. And one of the lead professors who is working on the aluminium problem is British and pronounces it that way. If you look at the word, there ain't no way that it's aluminium. It's aluminum. They're putting in extra letters. But that aside, there is very, very strong evidence that aluminum is very bad for us. And we have been living in a term, the aluminum age. Much of the cookware is aluminum-based. So many things that we utilize is aluminum are aluminum based, and acids, all but Tums, I think, have aluminum in them. We know that aluminum is one of the primary ingredients in the plaque that accumulates in the brain in Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. Aluminum is the primary ingredient, the active ingredient in all of the antiperspirants. I absolutely will not use the antiperspirants. I'll use a deodorant, one based with baking soda, but I do not use antiperspirants. If I sweat, I sweat. Oh, well. That's my physiology, and if you don't like it, go visit somebody else's house. The interesting thing is that for years, they've been trying to figure out a quick way to get aluminum back out of the body. Now, for heavy metals like lead and iron, we use chelating agents. Bal in oil is one of them. Calcium EDTA is another one. And these agents bond to these heavy metals and allow them to be excreted. They pull them out of the bloodstream and the tissues and allow them to be excreted. But we haven't had a lot of luck with aluminum. There are a couple of agents that we know of that would take some of the aluminum out, but because it's not a heavy metal, it's a lot tougher to get out. Well, they found that silicon in water that has natural silicon in it, actually takes aluminum out of you, and it takes it out pretty quickly, all things considered. In this country, the water that has the most silicon that I'm aware of is Fiji water. Probably see it in kind of fancy bottles in the store, and it's kind of high priced. It's like $2.30 for a liter and a half. But when it comes down to it, compared to what chelating agents cost, it's a bargain. And the recommendation right now is that you drink between a liter and a liter and a half of the water once a day. Try to get it in within an hour and a half. It seems to be more effective when it's taken in a larger quantity. And the aluminum will come out in the urine. Let me tell you, after reading some of the research, guess who's got Fiji water in his house? And guess who sets aside a little time each day when I know I'm going to be close to the bathroom and slams down that Fiji water?
Huh.
Yeah, huh, is right. And there is good science
not
to support this. Tests that were done, the load, as it's called, the aluminum load, was dropped radically in anybody who did this. It wasn't like it worked on some people and didn't work on others.
Why don't they advertise this more? You know, you'd think that
they're not allowed
to. Know.
Welcome to the FDA. They're not allowed to. Yeah. What they found, though, was that aluminum's negative effects are, in fact, idiosyncratic, meaning they are different in different people. No one knows for sure why this is. May have to do with different pHs in the body. Who knows? We don't know enough about it. But certainly it behooves you to get the aluminum out of you, whether or not it looks like you're going to have a problem with it. It's a potentiator, which means that it will cause some of the substances that we don't want in us to become more potent and more active. It's also likely a carcinogen.
Stupid question here. Maybe not a stupid question, but like a can of Coke are things that come in a aluminum can. Are those coated and are not an aluminum source?
They are coated. They are coated, but as to how much aluminum leaches through the coating, I don't know. I've always wondered that myself, and it would be a really good research project for somebody like Consumer Reports if they want to do something realistic for a change instead of their some of the testing they do. Really, I mean, boggles my mind what they come up with. But anyhow, it would be a good thing to test some of that stuff. The other thing it'd be a wonderful thing to test is food that comes from China.
I stopped eating the fish. I was getting frozen salmon that came, and it was such a good deal. Now I know why it's such a good deal. And it says product of China. You know, I know people who won't eat fish that say local fish when they live in a landlocked state, which kind of makes a little bit of sense. But you know, I don't like aluminum cans. I don't like drinking. I don't know. I've got a weird thing. I don't like plastic bags of chips. I just don't like plastic or aluminum that comes in contact with food. I just never liked it. And, you know, but you think on top of that, people drinking, like, Diet Cokes all day, you know, and the stuff that's in all the diet products, I won't touch it. I won't touch anything that's fat-free. It's like buy foods at, like, a farmer. You know where it came from, chicken. You got to be careful there, but none of the processed crap. I just won't touch it.
Well, I went to the farmer's market this last weekend, which is always a treat for me. There's an apple lady who has a place called Antique Orchards. And this old gal is pushing 100, and she's still out there. and she is, in fact, selling her apples. She's got her nephew now helping her out. But up until last year, she was driving her own little truck and bringing all her apples in and doing the heavy work and so on. It was amazing to see her again, very gratifying to see her again. We are out of time. I want to thank everybody. Please get out there and vote. Do something positive and in a nonviolent way, raise hell in this country. We need to do it.
That's right. That's right. All right.
Keywords,
thank you all.
Nonviolent. Thank you.
See you next week.